It's a tough act to follow. Good morning, FBC. Oh, as Kathy said, this is not Pastor Matt up here. It is a much, much younger, somebody a lot stronger and a lot better dressed. So, it certainly is. It certainly is an honor to be home and be able to share with you guys today. Some of you guys are like, home? I've never seen this kid before. That's okay. Like Kathy said, my name is Luke Winfrey, and my dad is Larry Winfrey, my mom's Sharon Winfrey, my older sister, Jessica, and how most people know me by, my younger sister, Kelsey Winfrey. But it truly is. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you guys today. And this is, I have to thank you guys and Pastor Matt for this opportunity, because I'm telling you, this is a dream come true. And as I look out, I'm seeing so many faces and people that have impacted my life growing up in this church that have got me to where I'm at today. And they have helped me so much to bring me to right here on this stage. And so I want to thank you guys so much for all you've done in my life and what you continue to do in people's life throughout this church. You guys are truly a blessing and truly amazing. So I don't know what brought you here today, if you are a member and you come every Sunday, or if you are a guest, but whatever the reason may be, I truly believe God brought you here for a reason, and I am certainly glad you are here, and I'm excited to see what God has in store for us today, because it's something great. We are in the middle of a series this summer called The Fruit of the Spirit, and how that fruit is evident in our lives. And how that spirit inside of us, what it looks like. And we're painting that picture, that portrait. And we get those nine characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22. Which says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such things. We've talked about so far. Love and joy. And see, all these things, all these nine characteristics are coming together to form one delicious and great fruit. One wonderful fruit. And the ingredient that we are adding today is peace. Today we're adding peace. Peace is something everybody needs, but very few seem to have it. And that's because we live in a world of no peace. We live in a world of wars. Countries and nations fighting against each other. Men and women, brothers and sisters, moms and dads, sons and daughters, sacrificing their lives every single day so we may have peace here at home. But ultimately, there's very little peace in their lives. There's little peace in their family's life. We live in a world of sickness and disease, where family members are battling cancer every single day, and some of those losing to that battle. And there is no peace in the death of a family member. We live in a world where people are chasing after money, wealth, fame. Oh, if I make this amount of money, if I get this wealthy, if I get this job, I'll have peace. I will be satisfied. But ultimately, when you make that amount of money, when you become wealthy and you get that job, you just want more. You're not satisfied. There is no peace in your life, but you want what's next. You want the next dollar amount. You want the next highest job. There is no peace. Isaiah the prophet said it best. For the way of peace, they do not know. For the way of peace, they do not know. See, life is unbearable without peace. And peace is so closely linked with joy that if you have some sort of peace, it's because you have some sort of joy in your life. And if you have some sort of joy in your life, it's because you have some sort of peace. In fact, they are so closely linked that Satan will often try to steal our joy by undermining our peace. But I'm here to tell you today that God's peace is supreme to all things. God's peace is supreme to anything that the devil may throw at you. His peace is supreme in our spiritual walk, in our mentalness, and emotional, and emotionally. He makes us whole. See, the Greek word for peace is eirene, which means peace of mind, tranquility. And the exact opposite of peace, of eirene in Greek, is machaira, which means sword. And Jesus says, or in Matthew 10:34, Jesus says, "For I did not come to bring peace to the world, for I did not bring peace, but a sword." Jesus came as a sword to divide. To divide the righteous from the unrighteous, the faithful from the unfaithful. See, because the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, and Jesus came to bring that word of God, which ultimately cut straight to the heart. It divided families from those in the family who are willing to follow Christ to those who are not willing to follow Christ. He says, "Leave your family and follow me. Pick up your cross daily." He came to divide saints and synagogues and those willing to follow him from those not willing to follow him. And to those that are willing to follow him, he offers and becomes the Prince of Peace, saying, "Peace be with you. I leave you with peace." He says it over and over and over again. But somehow, his followers, and still his followers today, still have no peace. And we still have no peace in our life. And that brings us to our scripture today. We're going to be in Matthew 14, and we're going to begin in verse 22. So leading up to this point, Jesus just got done feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, which that is a miracle in itself, and it's incredible. I mean, I don't care how good of a cook your mama is, I don't think she's feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I mean, and my grandma, when we go and we have a meal, they have enough to feed an army, but they didn't do it 5 loaves and 2 fish. See, I could get in and I could talk about that whole miracle thing, but I kind of want you guys to like me more than Pastor Matt, and I want to get you guys out of here on time so you guys can go enjoy your lunch. So we're just going to kind of set that to the side. But that's where we're at. That's where we're at today. That's where we're picking up in verse 22. He just got done feeding the 5,000. In verse 22, he says, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up into the mountains by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea." I want to pause there because I want to point out something that just jumps out to me. And see, a mount that Jesus prayed. See, the first thing it says that he did is he sent the disciples away in the boat to go to the other side so he can send the crowds away. And then he went up to the mountain to pray. And he said it was evening. So that's what? Six, seven o'clock. And he went all the way out to the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch of the night is in between 3 and 6 a.m. Now, I'm not a math major, but that's a long time. That's a lot of prayer. That is a ton of prayer. When's the last time you prayed that long? What does your prayer life look like in your life? Is it a priority? Or is it something that you just do if you have time? Because over and over again in my life, I wish I could stand up here and tell you that it's a priority in my life every single day. But it's not. And I fall into that, where I just start to pray when it's convenient. I just start to pray when I need something and when I have time. But Jesus, the Son of God, made it a priority to pray. He made a priority. He made time to pray. Yeah, he was in a hurry to get to the other side of the sea, but no, he took time to go to the mountain to pray. Not for 5 or 10 minutes, but for hours. And if Jesus does it in his life, I think we should do it in our life. Because there is power in prayer. And the second thing, the storm. See, they're at the Sea of Galilee. See, something you got to know about the Sea of Galilee is it has a bunch of mountains and hills surrounding the sea. And so there'd be pop-up storms like crazy. I mean, the weather there was more unpredictable than Missouri. Like, you had no idea what was going to happen. I mean, storms would come out of nowhere. And not just little storms either, but big, big storms. So keep that in mind as we continue to read on. We'll pick up in verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You have little faith. Why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." The first thing that sticks out to me in this is Jesus walks in peace. See, the last place you want to be in the midst of the storm is on a boat in the middle of the sea. I mean, that's the last place you wanted to be. And again, do the math. How long were the disciples out there before Jesus got to them? With their boat being tossed and turned and battered by the waves. And I'm not talking about like a huge, like, they're not like on a cruise ship. No, they're on a wooden boat that's about 15 to 16 feet that could hold about 12 to 13 people. It's not a big boat. So when that storm comes up and starts tossing and turning them, I can just picture them holding on for dear life. And they've been holding on for so long, they're probably at the end of their physical strength and mental strength. I mean, it's not like in today's world, they could have just picked up the phone and said, "Hey, Jesus, you need to be done praying. We need your help right now." No, they didn't have that option. They just had to fight the storm. But then they see something. They see something walking on the water. They cry out in fear, "It is a ghost." But Jesus said, "Take courage, for it is I." And the thing I love about this is Jesus walked with a steady pace. I mean, I'm telling you, if I'm in that boat and I know Jesus is coming, I'm wanting him to run. All right, Jesus, get to me as fast as you can. Be running out here. But no, Jesus is walking with some coolness, with a pace, probably with some swagger. I mean, my man is walking on some water. He's probably feeling real good. He wasn't running, he was walking. And this is what I think is cool. See, God has the power to part the sea. See, in the Old Testament, Moses, he parted the sea for Moses and the Israelites so they could walk on dry land. He parted the Jordan River for Joshua so that they may walk. But Jesus chose to walk on the water. And that same power that was inside, that same power God used to part the sea lived inside of Jesus. So Jesus could have very easily parted the sea right then and walked to the boat on dry land. But no, because Jesus doesn't change his circumstances to make him bearable. No, Jesus conquers and masters his circumstances. And that's what he did. Instead of parting the sea, he stepped up. And he became the master of the sea. And he walked on water. He walked on the storm. He mastered the storm. And going back to our prayer life, can you imagine if in our prayer life, we didn't just say, "God, take this storm away from me." But we said, "God, give us the strength, give us the power to master this storm. Give us the strength, give us the power to conquer this storm." And then you become a conqueror and you start walking on water. And the second thing that sticks out to me is that there is no fear in the presence of Christ. When you are in the presence of Christ, there is no fear. Peter was in the midst of this boat. He was in the midst of this storm. And he is full of fear. He is scared as his boat is being tossed around. And then he sees a ghost and becomes even more frightened. But once the Lord said, "Take courage, for it is I," Peter knew the power that Jesus had. And he said, "Jesus, if that is you, call me to come and I will come." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter knew he could come because he knew everything that Jesus had done before. He knew the miracles Christ had performed. He knew the power that lived inside of Jesus. And he knew if he was in the Lord's presence, that power would be in him as well. So without fear, without hesitation, Peter stepped out of the boat. And once he stepped out of the boat, he was walking on water. See, but Peter's eyes were focused on Jesus. His eyes were on Jesus. It didn't matter that he was in the midst of the storm. It didn't matter he was walking on water, which he had never done before, because his eyes were focused on Jesus. It didn't matter that he was scared before, because now he had the power of Christ. See, he had a 10-foot wave on this side, a lightning strike on this side. But it didn't matter, because his eyes were focused on Jesus. And there is power in the presence of Jesus. Because we're in here in the presence of Jesus, there is no fear, but there is freedom. And Jesus and Peter was able to walk in that freedom as he was walking towards Jesus. He was no longer walking in fear and living in fear. But then Peter started looking around him. He took his eyes off Jesus. He started looking at the storm. He saw the 10-foot wave. He saw the lightning strike. He saw that he was walking on water, which he had never done before. And he realized, "I can't do this. I don't have the power to be out here. I don't have the power to conquer this. I don't have the power to master this. I don't know what I'm doing." And Peter began to sink. See, and we look at Peter, and I look at Peter, and it resembles so much of my own life as it does yours. That even though we are followers of Christ, we still sink. We still don't have that peace. It's because there's times in our life when we're praying every single day, when we're in scripture, when we are going to church, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that there is no fear in our lives, and we step out of the boat. And we walk in that freedom, when we walk in that peace with Christ. It doesn't matter that you just got fired and you have to pick up two other jobs to pay the bills. Yeah, your family is having a hard time going through a divorce. Yeah, somebody is sick in your family, but it's all okay because you know there is peace in God's plan. And you are walking towards Christ and you are living in the light of Christ. And you know there is power in that. But just like Peter, we start looking at the storms of this life. Just like Peter, we start losing that peace because we look at, "I can't pay the bills. I can't find another job. I can't fix this family. I can't help my family member that's sick." And we start losing sight and we become fearful again, losing that peace and beginning to sink. See, when we start to sink, we try to cure ourselves. So what do? We turn to drugs, we turn to alcohol, we turn after money. Thinking those things will satisfy us and bring us peace, when ultimately they just bring us temporary peace. But with God and with Jesus, there is an eternal peace. See, man cannot create peace in his own soul. And even though peace is evident when times are on top of the mountain and things are going good, peace is discovered when you're in the midst of the storm. And here's my favorite part. As Peter began to sink, Jesus stretched out his hand immediately. It says, immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand. It didn't say, Jesus ran towards Peter and stretched out his hand. No, it said, immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand. That tells me it doesn't matter what we are going through in this life. It doesn't matter what storm we are in the midst of or what's going on, that Jesus is walking right there next to us. It doesn't matter if we're on top of the mountain or how big of the storm we're walking through, that Jesus is standing right there next to us, going through it with us. And when we start to realize that we can't do it on our own, and we turn and we're trying to find peace and chase down peace and fight for peace, Jesus is immediately there stretching out his hand, wanting us to take it. And that's all we have to do. All we have to do is grab his hand and take a hold of that peace that he freely gives. I remember when I reached out and grabbed Jesus' hand and received that peace. I was a follower of Christ, had been for a while. But it was my sophomore year of high school. God blessed me enough to win the starting quarterback job here at Lebanon. It was the third game of the season. I draw back to pass, and I get hit from behind and ended up breaking my tailbone. But I didn't want to tell anybody because I didn't want to lose my spot, so I continue to play. In the second to last game of the season, I get hit from behind again and break my tailbone in another way. I didn't even know you could break your tailbone in two ways, but apparently you can. And so finally the season comes to an end. I go to my mom, tell her, Mom, this is what happened. And she read me the riot act, and so we end up going to the hospital, though. And the doctor says, yes, you broke your tailbone in a couple ways, but also a cyst grew from that. You're going to need surgery. Well, being the nerd that I am, I was like, can we just wait till surgery for Christmas break? Because I don't want to miss that much school. The doctor said, okay. In the meantime, I went and started playing basketball. And as I was going up for a rebound, I get hit from behind. And that cyst busts. And that led me to going and have immediate surgery the next day. And I didn't even know there's immediate surgery for your bottom or whatever. I didn't even know that was a thing. But sure enough, we did. I ended up having 5 surgeries on my backside in 6 months. But in the middle of that, I thought it was a good idea to go back to playing basketball. And I go up for a rebound, and I end up tearing my labrum in my throwing arm. And that made 6. So I ended up having 6 surgeries in 6 months, went to no school, couldn't hang out with my friends, I couldn't play baseball. But the moment in my life that I want to talk to you about is in the midst of all this. See, this is in the biggest storm of my life. Well, in the middle of it, right after my 3rd bottom surgery and my shoulder surgery, I'm sleeping in a recliner. I'm not allowed to lay flat on my back. I'm sleeping in a recliner. And then I decide to get sick. So I'm going back and forth from the recliner to the bathroom, just getting sick all night long. And finally, about 3 a.m., I had enough of it. I was done. And I start calling out to God, screaming at God, asking him why. Why me? Why was I going through all this? Why was I in so much pain? Why couldn't I go to school and see my friends? Why couldn't I play baseball? What is going on through all this? Why am I in the midst of all this? What is going on in my life? I can't take it anymore. I can't do this on my own. And from that moment on, I didn't get sick the rest of the night. And then when I woke up, a little bit later, my mom came in and got me and took me to the chair. And as I woke up the next morning, I think the first words out of my mouth was, "Thank you, Lord." And at that moment, I stretched out. I grabbed Jesus' hand when he was stretching it out to me. And I received that peace over my life. Because he just put a comfort over me. Saying that he has a plan for my life. And he's going to use this to glorify him in ways that I can't even imagine. And that, yeah, I may go through more things, but that he was going through it with me, right there beside me. And that is all the peace and comfort I needed. And from that moment on, it didn't matter what happened. It didn't matter what doctor visit I went to. And they said, all right, Luke, you're going to need another surgery. I looked at him with a smile on my face and said, all right, bring it on. I mean, you should try that next time you go to the doctor and they say, hey, you're going to need surgery. And you just smile at them. Their reaction is priceless. But it's just because I had that peace of the Lord. I had the peace of Jesus Christ in my heart. And the comfort that his plan would be fulfilled. And it was, and that's why I'm standing in front of you today. Because it's that God is that good. And when you have that, and when you have that peace in your life, it is so overwhelming that it just flows through you and you cannot contain it, you cannot control it, and it just pours out of you. And you are forced to smile when Satan tries to throw storms in your life. Because you know your God is greater. You know your God is the ultimate comforter and brings peace to all. And you're forced to realize that because it is so comforting and it's so peaceful. And that's how the fruit of peace becomes evident in our lives. The fruit of peace becomes evident by walking in that confidence, by walking in that peace with our eyes fixed on Jesus. That's how the fruit of the Spirit of peace, that's how it becomes evident. I love what James has to say. James, the brother of Jesus, has to say in chapter 3. Verse 17, he says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. See, Jesus is talking about those teachers who have earthly wisdom, and those teachers who have wisdom from above. If you have wisdom from above, that means the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and that means that you have peace. And that peace looks pure. That peace is genuine. It is peaceable. It doesn't matter who it is to. It doesn't matter what they are doing. You're bringing peace to them. It is gentle. It's not harsh. Peace is not harsh or demanding. It is reasonable. If you have peace in your life, you don't have to have the last word in an argument because you have confidence that your God is going to have the last word. Peace is full of mercy and good fruits. See, when you have peace in your life, it also produces the good fruits of love and joy because those aren't just attributes of God. God doesn't just bring love. He doesn't just bring joy. He doesn't just bring peace. God is love. God is joy. God is peace. And so when you accept that and you have that in your heart and you have that Holy Spirit in you, that's what's going to come out. That's what you become. You become love. You become joy. You become peace. It is unwavering. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter the circumstances. Peace overcomes and is always there. And without hypocrisy. It doesn't say one thing and do another. Peace is what it is, and that's what it brings. And those who follow Christ, those who have that righteousness inside of them, they make peace. In a world that has no peace, those with righteousness bring peace. But we cannot possibly share and experience the peace of God until we have peace with God. We cannot share it or experience it until we have peace with God. And what's the peace of God? The peace of God is this. Right after the Last Supper, the Lord and his disciples, they went down to a place, and a few of his disciples went down to a place that we call Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus went to often to pray. And that's what he was there to do on that day. He was there to pray. He was there to talk to his Father. And as he was crying and sweating blood because he knew he was about to receive all the weight of sin of the world. the weight of all of your sin of the past, all of your sin of the now, and all of your sin in the future. Jesus knew he was about to receive all that weight. And then Judas, a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, brought in the Roman soldiers to arrest Jesus, which they would eventually take him to trial, where then he would go to the cross. But Peter had not just followed Jesus, but he walked on water with Jesus, and he was not going to go down without a fight, and he pulled out his sword and even cut off one of the Roman soldiers' ears. But Jesus yelled, "No more of this." And I'm thinking, no more of this. Jesus, you are the great I am. You could put him to a stop right then. You don't have to do that. But he said, no more of this. Peter, put away your sword. Because it was time for peace. It was time for peace to come into the world. And so they didn't arrest Jesus. They didn't take Jesus. No, Jesus laid down his own life. He laid down his own life for sinners like you, for sinners like me, so that we may live a life, an eternity of peace. See, Jesus came as a sword of division and became the peace of reconciliation. He reconciled that relationship of peace between us and God. He rekindled that relationship through the cross. We cannot experience the fullness of peace until we accept that Jesus made peace with death. That Jesus made peace with death by conquering death. And Jesus, see, Jesus stormed the gates of hell and he came out victorious so that we may have peace in our own lives. And if we call upon him and we reach out and we take his hand, that peace may be in our life. So it doesn't matter what storms we are going through. Our God already conquered it. Our God already defeated it. And we have that peace and we have that comfort in our lives for the rest of eternity. God made peace with the blood of Jesus. So in just a minute, I'm going to pray. And if afterwards you have never accepted that peace in your life, if you have never asked Jesus to come down and help you fight your battles and help you in the midst of the storm so that you can become a conqueror, so that you become a master, and you can live a life of eternity and peace. There's going to be people up here with yellow lanyards. Maybe you're somebody that's a follower of Christ. And at one point in your life, your eyes were focused on Jesus. But right now, you're in the midst of a storm and your eyes are off of Jesus. And you're focused on that storm. And you just need some prayer. I'm telling you, there's power in prayer. And maybe you just need somebody to pray for you. Come up. We want to pray for you. My name is Luke. Come up and talk to me. And come and walk on water. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for this opportunity to be here and with you. Father, we thank you for the Spirit living inside of us, the Spirit that has love, joy, and peace. God, we're thankful for that in our lives. And so it doesn't matter what we go through, what the devil's throwing at us, or what storms we're in the midst of, we have that peace over our life. And I'm so grateful for that. God, and I ask that you work through us and help us be love, help us be joy, help us be peace in the midst of somebody else's storm. And that somebody may come to know you through us. Father, I ask a blessing over every single person in here. God, and everywhere they go, they bring peace and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.